When the process is complete, the experience is integrated with other life events and stops having a life of its own. As we have seen in PTSD, this process fails and the memory remains stuck, undigested, and raw. Unfortunately, few psychologists are taught during their training how the memory processing system in the brain works. This omission can lead to misguided approaches to treatment. In contrast to phobias, such as a spider phobia, which is based on a specific irrational fear, post-traumatic stress is the result of a fundamental reorganization of the central nervous system based on having experienced an actual threat of annihilation or seeing someone else being annihilated, which reorganizes self-experience as helpless and the interpretation of reality. The entire world is a dangerous place. During exposure, patients initially become extremely upset. As they revisit the traumatic experience, they show sharp increases in their heart rate, blood pressure, and stress hormones. But if they manage to stay with the treatment and keep reliving their trauma, they slowly become less reactive and less prone to disintegrate when they recall the event. As a result, they get lower scores on their PTSD ratings. However, as far as we know, simply exposing someone to the old trauma does not integrate the memory into the overall context of their lives, and it rarely restores them to the level of joyful engagement with people and pursuits they had prior to the trauma. In contrast, EMDR, as well as the treatments discussed in subsequent chapters, internal family systems, yoga, neurofeedback, psychomotor therapy, and theater, focus not only on regulating the intense memories activated by trauma, but also on restoring a sense of agency, engagement, and commitment through ownership of body and mind. Processing trauma with EMDR. Kathy was a 21-year-old student at a local university. When I first met her, she looked terrified. She had been in psychotherapy for 3 years with a therapist whom she trusted and felt understood by, but with whom she was not making any progress. After her third suicide attempt, her university health service referred her to me, hoping that the new technique I'd told them about could help her. Like several of my other traumatized patients, Kathy was able to become completely absorbed in her studies. When she read a book or wrote a research paper, she could block out everything else about her life. This enabled her to be a competent student, even when she had no idea how to establish a loving relationship with herself, let alone with an intimate partner. Kathy told me that her father had used her for many years for child prostitution, which would normally have made me think of using EMDR only as an adjunctive therapy. However, she turned out to be an EMDR virtuoso and recovered completely after 8 sessions. The shortest time thus far in my experience for someone with a history of severe childhood abuse. Those sessions took place 15 years ago, and I recently met with her to discuss the pros and cons of her adopting a third child. She was a delight, smart, funny, and joyfully engaged with her family and her work as an assistant professor of child development.